It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. If you shut down our power grid, maybe we will put a missile down one of your smokestacks. That's a quote from an unnamed military official in the Wall Street Journal discussing the Pentagon's plan to treat cyber attacks as acts of war. Siobhan Gorman co-wrote the article.
There's momentum behind an idea that essentially tries to look at the physical world, say a naval blockade or something like that. And then what these military planners are starting to look at is, are there ways to look at what the equivalent would be in cyberspace? Are there impacts of cyber attacks that would be significant enough to rise to the level that we already understand in the physical world to be sort of a use of force or something that would require U.S. retaliation?
Something like the Stuxnet computer worm, little piece of malware that targeted controls at a nuclear enrichment facility in Iran. David Fidler is with the Center for Applied Cybersecurity Research at Indiana University.
Here you had a purpose-built, precisely engineered cyber weapon directly launched against a very specific target in a very specific country intended to do physical damage to critical infrastructure. And it did actually or reportedly cause damage to 1,000 centrifuges. Now, if you're thinking about in the non-cyber realm, you would say that's an act of war. If you did that with a kinetic weapon and you caused that kind of physical damage, that would be an act of war. What's interesting about Stuxnet is there's been this conspiracy of silence across the international system to even talk about Stuxnet in terms of use of force, armed attack, or aggression. Even Iran has been reluctant to talk about that attack in those terms, which suggests that perhaps state practice, particularly by the big cyber powers, is moving that threshold higher. So it's actually going to be harder to cross that line into cyber war. Which gives you a lot of room then to explore what you can do with your cyber technologies. And you can say, well, you know, state practice indicates this, what we're doing here is not an act of war. It's something less than that. So the right to respond in self-defense does not apply.
The urgency the Pentagon is feeling here may be misdirected, according to Noah Schachtman, contributing editor at Wired.
For years, folks in the Beltway have hooted and hollered about a cyber Pearl Harbor or a cyber 9/11. Meanwhile, the tide of online crime keeps rising, stealing billions of dollars from average consumers and from companies. We saw just this last week that Lockheed Martin, the biggest defense contractor in the world, had its networks penetrated, not to blow up its networks, but it looks like to steal information. And that's really where the real crisis is. The Pentagon may be comfortable with the idea of big catastrophic wars. You know, that's something that fits into their intellectual construct. But what's really going on here isn't cyber Pearl Harbor. It's more like the cyber South Bronx. And if we're not careful, it's going to be a neighborhood no one wants to live in.
More about this issue at MarketplaceTech.org. Jetpacks, always about to arrive. Billions of years from now, when the Earth is consumed by the sun, humanity's last words will be, jetpacks will be ready any day now. But a New Zealand company has solved a fundamental jetpack dilemma. If the engine fails, how do you avoid plummeting? The answer? Parachutes. Martin Jetpack posted video, we have it on our site, of a test run. Worked fine, but it was way out in the country. Is descending on the wind a great option for an urban commute? You avoid plummeting, but instead land on a busy freeway or slam against a skyscraper and die that way. Jetpacks. Still a few bugs in the system. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.